Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. We're holding the final word on the first line of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara begins, Omar Ula. As you recall, yesterday we went through the 18 treifis in our Mishnah. We added to that the Bazgar, Beis Samach Gimel Reish. We added to that another Shev Shmaitze. By the way, Shev Shmaitze is from the Ktsois HaChoshen, not from Reb Shimon Shkop. Was my mistake, and not from Chaim Shmulevich, but from Ktsois HaChoshen, wrote the Shev Shmaitzer. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Ula comes along and says, let's bunch them all together and categorize them in 8 separate categories, which, as you see, the Gemara is going to enumerate. Oma Ula, Ches Minei Treifis Nemru Loi L'Moshe B'Sinai. So even though we had 18, plus the 4, plus the 7, we're going to go and consolidate them into the following 8. You have Nekuva. Remember yesterday's Nekuva was 8 separate treifas, 10 treifas, depending exactly how you counted it. All were Nekuva. Then you had Psuka. You have Netula, Chasura, Kerua, Drusa, Nefula, Ushvura. Rashi does us a tremendous favor, and he goes through the Mishnah of yesterday and shows how each one fits into one of these categories. In terms of Nekuva, that's a Dovah Poshet, because the Mishnah itself enumerates 8 separate categories of Nekuva. Depends whether you count Beis HaKoisis and Hemsis as one or as two. But anyway, but that was all in Nekuva. In the Psuka, we had 2 in the Mishnah. What were the 2 Psukas? Number 1, we had Psukas HaGageres, that was at the very outset. And then we had the case of Nifsak. Where was the case of Nifsak? By the Shedra Shkoyach, by the Shedra, if it was Nifsak, the Chutshala, which is a spinal cord. Oh, so that was called Psuka Nifsak, thank you, Barry. Then we had Natula, that was Nitel Hakove, that we had in the Mishnah. Then the Chasura, that was in the lungs, we said Ajitinokev, Nikva Oy Chaseira, so we had Chaseira, Krua, that it was torn, we had a number of cases in our Mishnah, especially towards the end, we spoke about where it was torn, Akeris HaPnimish Nikva Oy Shenikra, Roy Vachitzoina, there again you had the Indian of Krua, we have Drusa, Drusa's all the way at the end, Drusa's Azeev, Drusa's Ari, Drusa's Nets, etc., that we spoke about. Nefula means that it was Nefula min Hagag. We had that in the Mishnah. Ushvura. Shvura was Nishtabru Roiv Tzaloiseho. So you see that all of the different cases in the Mishnah are included in these 8. For those that would like to have a mnemonic to remember, you remember that when we had about the 7 Mashkois, we spoke about Yad Shochat Dam, to remember the 7 Mashkos which cause Hechsher Lekabel Tumah. Here too we have a similar mnemonic, Dan Chonak Nefesh. What is Dan Chonak Nefesh? Dan, of course, is a person by the name of Don. And that you have Dalet is Drusa. And then you have their 3 nuns all together. So you can choose, let's say, Nekuva. So the Dan is Drusa Nekuva. Then Chonak Ches is the Chasura. Chonak Nun, again a second Nun, Netula, and Kuf is Krua, that's Chonak, unbelievable. And then we go on to Nefesh, now we have the 3rd Nun, we had a Nekuva, Netula, and now Nefula, that's the Nun. You have now a Fei, Fei is Psuka, and then Shin is Shvura, Dan Chonak Nefesh, this is from the Smag, Smag is the Sefer Mitzvah Sagadol, which goes back many hundreds of years. So that is a way to remember all the 8 separate categories. Now that we've done Chonak Nefesh. Dan Chonak Nefesh. Right? Should we go through it again? Chonak means Chasashol from Russian Chenek, to strangle. Chasashol, we should never have it. Izokti Yimara Lafuke. Now that I know these 8 categories, what does it teach us? To exclude Lekusa de Rochish Bar Papa. Who is Rochish Bar Papa? If you recall yesterday, when we were enumerating the 7, the Shev Shmaitze, this goes back roughly 12 lines from the bottom of the Omid, the Omer Rochish Bar Papa, Mishmei Derab, Loksa Bekulya Achas Treifa. If, as you know, every human being, and Lahabdul, the animals have 2 kloyois, kloyois are kidneys, if one of the kidneys has loxa, has a disease, chas v'sholom, an infection of some sort, chas v'sholom, that could be fatal. In terms of an animal, it has a locha of treifa. However, this word that we're talking about, lekusa, doesn't fit into the dan chonak nefesh. You're right, lefuke. In fact, Ula does not hold of that din of the rochish bar papa of loxa v'kuli achas. He holds it's not a treifa. So therefore, that's why he leaves out the lamed of the kusa. Omer chia barova, ches treifos yesh ben akuva. We have eight altogether, which we had already enumerated yesterday in the Mishnah. Im toima, but you're going to say, no, but I looked in the Mishnah. In fact, there are nine altogether. Tes, why? Because that includes nikva hamora, or is the gallbladder. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, ktoni la. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds nikva hamora, but we don't hold. When I say we, Chia Barava is saying Aliba de Ula, that he doesn't hold. Or he doesn't have. Ula just went into eight categories, so that's done. Now, Chia Barava says that there are eight nekuvois, eight trefis of nekuva. Ah, you look in the Mishnah, it doesn't say eight, it says nine. Truth of the matter, we had, remember yesterday, we had ten altogether, but of the ten, we took the hemsis together with the besa koisois, and we merged those together because those are two of the four stomachs which touch each other and are like merged together, so we consider that to be like one. The tenth one, which was the Mora, Nikva Mora, says the Mora, that's a Das Yachar, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and Chia Barava doesn't hold, he doesn't paskin like that, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and therefore he only has eight and not nine. Now, how do you know this Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Ketani Lo, decided we have a Braisa? Nikva Hakeva, Nikvu Hadakim, Trefa, that's what the Tanakhama says. The keva, which is one of the four stomachs. The dakim, of course, is the intestines. You have a nekev, it's treifa. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, don't forget, av nikva amora, the same thing applies to the gallbladder. The fact that the Tanakhama did not mention it, the Gemara assumes means that there is a machloikis. He doesn't hold nikva hamora is treifa. That being the case, said Chia Barava, it's really Chia Barav, that you have eight treifas altogether, because we're going to leave out Mora, although it was enumerated in our Mishnah, but it's not Lahalach. Now we start off Omer Yitzchak Bar Yosef, and we're going to have now five members in a row, all Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, and that's why you have the parentheses, the mnemonic of Halachos or Hilchos, Chover, Kezayis, Mora, Vekurkabon, Simen. So the first one was the Halachos or Hilchos. No, we do paskel b'yosef b'yehuda that nikva hamora is treif. So therefore, we have a machlokes amayroim. Do we paskel the nikva hamora is treif? Do we not? So that was the first Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan. That was halachas. Now we go on to chover. From Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, mayahadru le chavrei the Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda. What did the chavrei Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda respond to him? Meaning, since we just quoted the Braisa, that the Tanakhama doesn't bring Nikvamar, only Rabbi Yosef Yehuda brings Nikvamar, so they disagree. If they disagree, what did they respond to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? They said, look in the Pasuk in Eoiv. Eoiv was saying, Yishpoich lo'oret mirei rasi, v'adayin Eoiv kayim. Eoiv was complaining about the fact, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, that the Satan was giving him all types of physical tzaris, as well as other types of tzaris, but we're focusing now on the physical. And he said, it's gotten so bad that all of Mirei Rossi, all of the gall bladder juices, gall, all are pouring down to the ground from me. And guess what? Even though the mora, therefore, is dissolving and it's becoming fluids, and all of those are pouring out, Eev is still alive. So you see that when it comes to nikva hamora, that doesn't mean automatic death. Eev is still, of course, you can be machalik, it's a behemoth, it's a human being, and maybe therefore the anatomy is different. But we're going to answer this kasha in a moment anyway. But bottom line is, Tanakhama says, nikva hamora is not treifa. Eev is still alive. Omalehem, ein maskir masanisim. Don't tell me about a ness. The eloi te mahochi, because if you're not going to tell him to say that, Yefalach kilyoisai v'liyachmol mikochayei. Yefalach kilyoisai means that my kloyis got split and got damaged, kidneys, v'liyachmol, and there's no rachmonis on me. And mikachai, normally if a person is losing his kidneys, would he be able to survive and exist?
I presume.
Ella nisa. Okay. Ella nisa shani. It must mean that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is keeping him alive. Derech nes.
Yeah, I cannot take example from you.
Exactly. It's a miracle, and therefore do not bring any rice from Eoiv, Lakan, or Lakan. So the rice that the Gemara was bringing, that the Mora juices are all coming out and spilling out, the fact that Eoiv is alive, that's all Derech Nes. How do you know that it's all Derech Nes? El Nisa Shani Dechsivs in the Pasik Rak Es Navshoi Shemar. Hachanami Nisa Shani. So now, what is this all about? What are these Nisim? So Rashi quotes the Gemara that we have elsewhere in Bava Basra, where there in Bava Basra the Sutton was talking about the malice of Eoiv vis-a-vis Avram Avinu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says Avram Avinu was much, much greater. So there was a whole dispute there in the Gemara, and the Gemara eventually says that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the Sutton, go and be Mitzayer Eoiv and see whether he is as faithful as you think he is, but be Mitzayer him till the point of but no death. Oh yes, give him tzuris, as the Gemara says, tzuris Eoiv. Give him all the problems that Eoiv had, but don't kill him. So if you look at the Rashi, Rakis Nafshoi Shemar, it's about 2/3 down the Omud. Rakis Nafshoi Shemar, says Rashi, Makis Mavis Iko. You, Sutton, are authorized to give Makis Mavis. Really, really hard Makis. Well, the Kach Nistava, but he said, Lishmar Nafshoi, but keep him alive. Can I read about Shutvim? Godel Tzari Shel Sutton Mishel Eoiv. Sutton had more Tzar than Eoiv had. What do you mean? Moshe Lo'im Le'avdai, a person says to his servant, Shmor Chavis, I want you to go and break this entire barrel, Ushmor Yena, but don't let a drop of wine spill out. That's, of course, almost an impossible job, right? Go take this bottle, break it, tear it in half, and make sure none of the seltzer spills out. How can you do something like that? So therefore, Sutton, that's why the Gemara says that Sutton had bigger tzuris than Eoiv, because Hashem said, you can go and give Makas Moves, but make sure he lives. So that's what's going on over here in these psukim as well. By the way, these first two psukim are really one pasuk. The Yishpach L'Oretz Meros, if you have the Torah Ora Sholein, and this is not a Rashi, this is in the Gemara, so you should all have it. So it says, Yesobu Alai Rabav Yefalach Kil Yoisai V'Leyachmoil Yishpach L'Oretz Mirei Rossi. So the pasuk is telling about how his kloyas are getting damaged, are getting split without rachmonis, and how his mora juices are also, the gallbladder juices are also spilling out. So therefore, but he survived. Why did he survive? Not because mora shenikva is not a treifa. Could mean mora shenikva is a big treifa. The reason why he was surviving was b'derech nes, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't allow the Sutton to go and kill. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to continue on now. So now, that was the Chove, the Chavre, the Eoiv, but the Chavre, the Bios, Rabbi Yehuda. Now we go on to Kizayis. We paskin like the man, the Omer holds Kizayis. Now what does that mean, Kizayis? We're not talking about a Kizayis now to be Yoitze, let's say, Achidas Matzah and Pesach, but we're talking about Hilchos Treifas. Now back in our Mishnah it says, Nitla HaKoved L'Nishtayir Heimena Klum, that you had, that the entire covet, starting the fourth line, one of the treifas is that the entire covet, the whole liver, was taken away, that's netula, nothing was left. Oh, that is treifa. Is the chmashma from our Mishnah, that if there is a mashahu left, a quarter of a kezayis, a half a kezayis, that's enough that it could rejuvenate and rehabilitate and become a normal covet again. And that's the mashmois. However, there's another Mishnah later on in our Masechta, which says over here that nitla koved v'nishtayir heimenu kizayis is considered to be a gezunta behema. That does not have the din of a treifa. That's considered to be gezunt. Where is that Mishnah? That Mishnah is... Yes, you have a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Indeed, it grows back.
It grows back, exactly.
But it regenerates. Right. But it takes time.
Okay, I'm patient. You know, we have time until
November. But in the meantime, the Chaya is sick.
The Chaya is
sick. It's not a treifa. It has the potential to regenerate, so it's not a trefa. So if the shachtan before it regenerates sufficiently, it's kosher.
Very good, very good. Shkoyach for that attack. It's beautiful.
Yes, the rabbi said yesterday about the Beim and the Pen.
Okay, good.
You're right.
Okay. So let's go now to Daf Mem Vav. If you go to Mem Vav just for a short moment. Yeah, what you're saying is correct. Okay. So you see about a third down the Omid, it says, Nitla HaKoved, two dots. That's the quote from our Mishnah.
Right.
It says, the Gemara, HaNishtayim, and Eklom Ksheira. It's mashu that at least abesala gunish a mashu avgav the loy have kizayis. Even if there's no kizayis left over, as long as abesala is still kosher, right? Because the Mishnah said lishtam in a klum zero, then it's treif. So a little bit, it's okay. But tonight, but later on, there's going to be another Mishnah. That Mishnah is on.
My question was.
Okay, 1 second. On Daf Nun Dalet, we're going to have another Mishnah which says nitol akove the nishtayir heimenu heimeno kizayis. Then it's ksheira. It's mashma only if you had a full kazayis in its kosher. So we have a steer of the two mishnayis. Our mishnah says even a mashu is okay, and here it's saying that in the shtayim menu kazayis is okay. So how do these two work in tandem? So we have a steer of the two mishnayis. So now getting back to our gemara, how do we paskin? Do we paskin like our mishnah that you only need a bisula and then it's not a treifa? Or do we paskin like that later Mishnah that says you have to have a kizayis to make sure that it's not a treifa? From Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, from Rabbi Yochanan, Alokin, we only make kizayis. We paskin like that man, the Yomer that says kizayis. Frank, Timor, and me, Omer, Rabbi Yochanan, Alokin, Rabbi Yochanan, say that. Rabbi Bachanan, Rabbi Yochanan, same Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha kista Mishnah. And our Mishnah says, Utanan, Nitla hakovid, Lenishdair, Himenu, Klum, Honishdair, Ksheira, Avgavdal, Loyavik kizayis. So Ibazoi, how is he paskening like Yana Mishnah and not like our Mishnah? Now it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't tell us, but Rashi advises us that if you look ahead, Takan Daf Nun Dalet, where that other Mishnah appears, it's also a Stam Mishnah. So my Umehai Mehai, which one is better of the two? Ours is a Stam Mishnah, that is a Stam Mishnah. So how, sorry?
It's not Stam, it's your version of Gamliel Omer.
You have a bit of machlokas in that Amid Aleph. On this halacha? No, on this halacha, but it's not a stam. What happens is that Mishnah said it's supposed to wear tefillin every single day. It's all the stam Mishnah. We're focusing on this singular halacha.
The question,
my friend, 1 second. From Beit Zayin. You have over here, the Mishnah says, Nitla HaKovin Lishtai Meni Klum, it's treifa. Is the Chmashma Abisal, it's kosher. That Mishnah says over there, Nitla HaKovin Vinishtai Menu Kizayis, it's kosher.
Right.
So you have to have the.
One stam.
So what are you going to answer? Anyway, and for the Gemara, what would Rabbi Yochanan hold in this situation? Here he's saying Stam, a name of Rabbi Yochanan, Loki Rabbi Yochanan, Kizayis, but you have two Stam Mishnahs. How would you go and follow? Says Rashi, since I have an even suffix, whether we go and follow this Stam Mishnah or that Stam Mishnah, we'd have to go Mimachmir and have to go and say that it is a Treifa. So, but he said it in terms of Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, ABC. When the other one said, but Rabbi Yochanan has a general rule vis-a-vis these halachas, talking about Stam Mishnah. Says Yomar, okay, this is machloikis between the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. How did Rabbi Yochanan express himself in this situation? Anyway, so that's the next case in the mnemonic of the Kizayis. Now we're up to Mara. What's the din of Mara? Vaita says Yomar, not the Omar, it's the Omar of Yitzhak Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yochanan, totally new halacha. Mora Shenikva. Oh, we've just had a machloikis whether Mora Shenikva is treifa or not. Do you paskin like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Don't you paskin? Says Rabbi Yochanan, I have good news. Mora and Kaved are very close to one another in the anatomy, in the body of an animal. To the point that very often, even if there is a hole, a perforation, a puncture in the Mora, the Kaved will compensate because the Kaved is so close, it's going to go and act like a stopper, like a bandage, holding the Mora together, notwithstanding that it has that hole.
It's like the base of Kosos and its neighbor.
And the Hemsis.
Yes.
But there the Hemsis and the Kosos are, in fact, fused together. That's the construction that Kodesh Baruch Hu built into every single animal. Here, these are two separate things, but many animals, presumably the animal is very stout and doesn't take Olympics or metformin or whatever those things are called, so then the mora and kove get tzadam and gekvetched. Maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe only when the animal is very, very skinny, they get to kvetch. But because it gets so to kvetch, then the kaved, his soysen, can go and stop up the hole in the mara, and then kishera. But only in a case where it's taka kaved soysmach. He's not saying mora shenikva is okay. He's saying if you have a situation where you opened up the animal after you did the shechita, now we're doing a bedika, and so says, hey, look, the mara has a hole in it. According to Yosef Yehuda, this thing is treif. Give a kick. Look, do you see anything flowing? The mara seems to be nicely intact because the kavod is right next to it and has been so same, has been closing up this hole for the last month, year, 10 years. So therefore, that's why the animal is still alive and kicking and it's kosher.
So if the hole in the mara is not facing the liver, mm-hmm. it's facing the opposite side, it would be a treva.
Absolutely, and that's why you started off the first of all these memories of Yitro, Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Halach, and Reis, Rabbi Yehuda. And what did Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say? That Af Nikva Amora is one of the traces. Now we're up to Nikiv HaKorkaban. Korkaban is the last one in this list. Korkaban, as you probably know, in fancy English is a gizzard, but in Yiddish it's called a pipikal. A gizzard in English, G-I-Z-Z-A-R-D, a gizzard. However, in Yiddish it's called a pipik. Whoever doesn't know what a pipik is.
But they have chicken soup when they were a kid.
Sorry?
They didn't have chicken soup when they were a kid.
Okay. Anyway, we had fricassee, exactly. All standard chasanis or bar mitzvahs, they didn't give out the grass like they're giving out today with the portobello mushrooms, but they used to give out delicious, not only pipikal, what was it called? Fricassee. Because he had one or two small little wings of a bird, of a chicken, together with a pipikal amachai.
I remember.
Okay, so anyway. Okay, so let's continue on. So now it says, again, Rabbi Yochanan, Nikiv HaKorkaban, what happens if you have a hole in the korkaban?
The korkaban is usually the stump. It takes part of the digestive system. So
it's part of it. It's not one of the four. Right.
It's by bird. It's by bird.
That's what I was asking. It's apparently it's a behemoth.
No, it's a separate thing. He's talking about birds now. It's a separate chapter. Yeah.
But the bird had a korkaban.
Yeah, only a bird.
I thought from only a bird like you, but I thought in context you're.
A bird comes from an egg.
Right, but it develops a korkaban. A person comes from a little cell. Develops into a whole mensch.
Yeah. Anyway, what's the story with the korkaban? The korkaban is not an umbilical cord. Yes.
The korkaban is not where the umbilical cord is connected.
I don't think so.
No. That's it's, part digestive, it's part of the digestive system.
Yeah.
Look,
exactly.
Look in the Tamune Kulen book.
Maybe in the back they have pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, as a picture of a korkaban. Beautiful.
It says in Gmail, which is Google, because these animals, chickens, lack teeth. The gizzard acts as a stomach to grind and pulverize.
He has stones inside.
Hard food. Okay.
Very good. Beautiful. Shkoyach Mendi. So, the korkaban is the gizzard, which is the sole stomach, apparently, in a bird. And if it has a hole in it, does that make the bird treif? So, our Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yochanan tells us, that the korkaban has within it a kiss. Just like we spoke about in the Mishnah, that in every lathe you have chalolim, corridors, compartments, chambers. Same thing in a rea, in lungs you have the bronchi. So inside the korkaban you also have some sort of compartment inside. So now what happens if you have a hole in the korkaban? The kiss shaloi kayim. However, the kiss is totally intact. What's the din now? Yes. Rashi, if you look at the Rashi of Zuntite, on the third wide line, kis shaloi klipa haprimis. Inside every single korkaban, there is another, klipa is usually an outside layer or an outside shell or peel. So you have that inside the korkaban. And as long as the outside has a hole, but it doesn't go deep inside into that klipa primis, it's still kosher. It's not a problem. It's not a treifa. And now the Gemara asks, Iboilhu, what happens if it would be the other way around? Nikavakis, that inner corridor, that inner klipa, does have a hole, the korkum kaim, but from the outside, it looks fine. It was, in other words, you didn't have a puncture that went through and through. It only went internally and not externally. So this is the reverse case of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's case was nikav korkum went from the outside, but the nekev didn't go all the way to the inside. He said, that's okay. What happens if you have a nekev inside, but it didn't go out to the outside? My Toshim Adyam Rav Nachman, nikav zeh b'loy zeh, and then the Bach adds another few words, oy zeh shaloy keneged zeh, kosher, it makes no difference. Nikav zeh b'loy zeh means our case, that it only went through one of the two, either only the chitzayin and not the panimi, or the panimi and not the chitzayin. But then he adds, and this is not so important for the Gemara that we're learning until now, but it's going to be for the next Gemara. That means that in fact this poor little korkabon had two separate holes. One hole was on the external, in other words, puncturing the outside, and then there was another hole puncturing the inside. But the two were not aligned one next to each other. Says him, well, that's also kosher. The only problem would be if you had a puncture that went through and through, from one end to the other, that not only punctured the outside, but went all the way into that kiss hapnimi. Oh, then you'd have something that would be treif. However, if you have two holes, one on the upper part, the outside part, and one on the inner part, but the two holes do not meet, never the twain shall meet, then it would be kosher. However, as we'll see in the Gemara, it's not all that so simple. Omer Rabba, Shnei Oirois Yesh Loi Leveshit, Aveshit, as we've learned many times, that's the esophagus, that's the food pipe. When we say oireis, it means it had two layers. It has an outside layer and an inside layer. So in other words, it's a relatively thick wall, two layers. Chitzayin odoim, we've had this before, that the outside one is red, upanimi, and the inside one is white. What happens if you have nikiv zeh beloy zeh kosher? Even though you had a nekiv, that's at the very beginning of Eilu Treifis, Nikva Haveshit, then even a Koshu, a Nekav Koshu, it makes it Treif. But it has to be a Nekav that goes through and through both of those layers. So if you find, for instance, you open up after the Shechita, you open up the Veshit, and you find that there was a needle, a thorn. We're going to talk about a thorn on the Amud Beis. It's going to be a very thorny issue, my good friend Shelley. And you're going to find that there's a thorn or there's a needle which is inside the veshit, but it's only puncturing from the outside. It didn't go all the way inside. So the red part has a hole in it, but the white part, Baruch Hashem, no holes, gunished, or the other way around, that there was a thorn or a needle or something from the inside that punctured that inner layer, the white layer, but it didn't go any further into the red layer, then it's kushin, no problem. Zokti Gemara, why was it necessary for Rava to go and tell us two halachas over here? Number one, he said here, in there are two oires of the veshit. The outside is red, the inside is white. Okay, fascinating. And then nikiv zeh b'loy zeh kosher. Who cares if this is red and this is white? What happens to be green and blue, yellow and orange? The important thing is that the nekev only went through one layer, not both layers. So why is he telling us this red outside, white inside? Says, because were you to go and after the shechita open up and check out the veshit and find that the inside is red and the outside is white, it's inverted, that would also be a simen typhus. Presumably that is a very rare situation. Why would it be inverted backwards? But if you were to find a red inside, a white outside, it would be a trifle. What are the shneim? The korkabon that we spoke about before, and now the veshit that we're talking about. Already by the korkabon, we already explained that there were two holes. There was a hole in the outside sticking out from the korkabon. You saw there was a hole. But however, that hole did not go all the way to the kis hoemtsoi. Rashi called it the klipa pnimius. It didn't go all the way in. It was just from the outside, a superficial type of hole. But then when you opened up the korkabon, you found that there was another hole inside in that klipa pnimi, but the two holds were not aligned next to each other, so they were separate holds. Same thing with Gabi the Veshit. Veshit is even easier to understand. As you know, the Veshit, which is the long esophagus, let's say for our purposes, is 3 inches, 5 inches long, or whatever. So at the top of the Veshit, after 1 inch, Mamushal, there's a hole. The hole only goes through one layer. Now you have another hole in the Veshit, an inch or 2 inches further down, and that's only in the Pnimi, not in the Chitzai. So the two are not parallel to one another. One's higher up, one's lower down. But the Maisai have holes, two holes, both in the outer layer and in the inner layer of the Veshit. Does that pasulet make it treifa? So dosi yimore shayli etz iboilu. Nikvu shneyem, both the Veshit and the Korkabat. Zeh shaloi kineged zeh mahu. The Veshit is kusha, the Korkabon is awesome. If you have these two type of holds in the Veshit, one higher, one lower, it's kosher. If you have exactly in the Korkabon, however, if you have an outer puncture and then inside the kiss you have another puncture, but the two are not parallel to each other, one's higher, one's lower, then it is treif. Maskiv lo Ravashi. Ravashi says, I don't understand what you're saying, Mazda. I'm sorry?
Rav Nachman just said the opposite. He said, Zez shlo keneged zez kosher. Rav Nachman a few lines above, right? We're talking about the Korkavon and the kiss. And
he was just talking about the Korkavon.
Right. So Rav Nachman said a few lines before, Nikiv zez below zez kosher.
What you're saying is correct, but he didn't refer to Veshit, now we're referring to both Veshit and Korkavon.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. So what did Marzucha say, Mishmei Dera Papa? By the Veshit, he said it's kosher. By the Korkavon, he says it's possible. Maskva Ravashi. Adraba, I should say punk fakert. What's punk fakert? Veshit de ochlebe, upayebe, rovach, gamdele, uposhtele, zimnin de mahandazin, bahadi adodi. By definition, Veshit has to be much more flexible and much more pliable than the Korkabon. Why? Because the Veshit is constantly being challenged by food that's going down the Veshit. Sometimes a person, and lehavdil, an animal, eats a larger piece of food, and so therefore the Veshit is going to have to expand as that food is going down. Sometimes a person will eat a small little piece of food, and then the Veshit can even contract if it so desires, if that's the anatomy of the animal. And so therefore the Veshit is constantly, if you will, moving up and down, back and forth, and it can get to the point where the hole in the upper part of the Veshit, meaning on the outer layer, and the hole which is in the lower part of the Veshit, the inner layer, it could be as a result of all of this activity of the food going up and going down and
after expanding and contracting.
And the animal also has to regurgitate because of what we read yesterday, that the cuds, and it has to go back up from down to up and down that. So therefore the Veshit is constantly moving, so to speak. Since it's on the move, I can easily think in my mind, imagine that the two holes at some point in time could become parallel to one another, and now if you kept it there for one split second, I have now a hole that goes from the outer layer into the inner layer, into the hole, into the hollow of the Veshit. Maybe that makes it right.
Isn't only the time of Shechita though that matters? Not, and we're talking about during the time of the Shechita. How can you know what the holes are, where the holes are during the, when the animal is alive, if we're doing a Bedika post Shechita?
Okay, very good. So you've now shechted both the Kana and the Veshit.
Right.
And now the Boydik says, we got to check the Veshit, because in the last few days, we've had a lot of animals that have had holes in the Veshit. We got to go and check it. So they go and take it, put it on the table, and then two people are looking at it at the same time. One says, hey, I see a hole here on the upper layer. The other says, well, I've been turning it inside out, and I see down below that there's a hole in the layer down below. Much no problem. I don't understand why it should be kusha. I could easily imagine in my mind that a day ago, a week ago, a month ago, this animal was at a given point in time eating, where the eating, the food was coming up and going down and down and up, and therefore there was an expansion and a contraction, and maybe at some point the two holes got aligned next to each other, and that therefore it should become a treif. But nevertheless, Marzucha says, I'm not worried about that. Veshit kushim, come on, you're imagining, amazing. It didn't happen. But by the Korkabon, says Yomar, demeyach, meinach, nayach, kirikoi koi. Curcuma is not one of these pliable, flexible types of things. It stays kind of frozen in place, so to speak. So why would you say over there that I'm concerned that the two holes may have gotten aligned? But how would that take place? The curcuma is a stationary thing. It's a gaitnish, a footnish. It doesn't expand. It doesn't contract. So if anything, the svar should be punkvakert. If you want to go and say that I'm concerned about, as a result of expansion and contraction, the two holes got aligned somehow, I'd be much more concerned by the Veshit than by the Korkabon. And you are saying the Veshit is caution, the Korkabon is possible.
Yes, one is said, you want to know.
Exactly, I didn't say, I'm not saying Migmar is saying it. And therefore, Om Leravach, Bered Rav Yosef Rav Ashi, Hacher Min Mishmeid Mar Zutram, the Om Mishmeid Rapapa, Kavo Seich. By uns, when they were quoting Mar Zutram Mishmeid Rapapa, they didn't quote it like the Gemara said a moment ago, Beveshit Kosher, Bekorkim and Pasel, but just the opposite. Beveshit Pasel and Bekorkim and Kosher. What's the reason? For the reason the Gemara just gave, because of the fact that the Veshit is so moving all the time when you're eating and when the animal is eating, and so therefore there's a strong likelihood that those two holds did get aligned at some point in time. And therefore, it's Sufik, it's a Trefer. Mashenk by the Korkabon and Veshit. What's up here?
What difference does it make if they align for 10 seconds?
It's not that shashchita.
I mean, maybe the shashchita is the only time that you can be boydik. Right. But this animal may have had it a month ago, may have had it a day ago.
Yeah, but what happened? Angle over self. If he could have had it, and then it could have repaired. Could have had five
holes. That's why you have to go and check it. And if you don't see any holes, everything is fine.
No, but I'm not saying I'll see what happened. It's like a cover. You only have a bias left. But you know, it could be that why this is going to regenerate. Here also, the opposite. You'll say that the fact is that eventually it could go out on one against the other, and that therefore it's a trade foot because they will align.
Yeah, but trefer is when he kills it. But if they align for 10 seconds in a year, it's not going to kill
it. Well, no, ultimately, I'm saying that
the halacha is a nekiv in the veshit makes it treif. What happens if a veterinarian takes an x-ray and he sees that there is a small innovation? And then the veterinarian says, however, I think that if you feed this animal the proper foods and medication, it can live. And in fact, the animal lives for another 10 years. And then you checked it at the end of 10 years, and you see that there was, in fact, a hole at one time, like the veterinarian told you. It is trefa. We say trefa ain't a chai. That's a machlokes with trefa chai ain't a chai. But it makes no difference. It's a loch l'moshri sinai that a veish that has a hole in it. This is a treifa animal you're not allowed to eat. Whether the tarfas took place yesterday, a month ago, a year ago, or as our Gemara is saying, just the possibility of a tarfas is all enough to make the thing treifa. Okay? Anyway, so zog the Gemara, yeah, it's weiter. So that's the difference between the korkabon and the veish, and we're up to three lines from the bottom. Amar Rab. Krum she'olam machmes maka beveshit einoi krum. What the Gemara is telling us is that this nekev in the walls of the veshit, that it goes straight through, so you could see the hole from outside to the inside, this is such a fatal simen tarfis by an animal that even if a krum, in English we would call it a scab, even if a scab went and grew on the outside of that hole, to the point that the hole is now totally covered over, and I would say, Baruch Hashem, this animal will live and it's not a treifa. Says Rabba, I'm very sorry. This krum is worthless. It's a krimma krum. Krim in Yiddish means that it's crooked. So it doesn't literally mean that it's crooked, but the point is, this is not a valid bandage that's going to take away the simen tarfis. At any time in the lifetime of this animal, if it develops a hole in the veshit, even though subsequently we have a nice scab that grew and now it's pure, krum is a normally krum is a membrane, but here it's a scab. Normally krum, a scab, S-C-A-B. If you're not familiar with scab, if you get a chas v'shalom, a cut in your skin, and then you see after a few days it starts turning brown and hardened, and you're trying to really scratch it off and get rid of it, that's called a scab.
Would it be like on the lung, you would like push it away to see if it's
blotted? That's similar to a sircha, right, similar to a sircha. We're going to talk about sircha in the lung, but that's not a discussion for today, Mitchum, for some time in the future. So you have a scab. Human beings get scabs all the time. Yeah. Hopefully you don't get a cut, but if you ever get a cut, and then you put on a Band-Aid for a day or two, and then you take it off, and then you see, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's starting to come back together again, and then you see a little bit of hard skin that grows on it. Eventually you scratch it off or it comes off by itself. That's called a scab. So you have a scab that's on the outside or on the inside of this veshet, where you see that there was a hole and now you have that scab on top of it. That is worthless. Even though you say, "Ah, now, Baruch Hashem, it's healed, it's good." No, one time on Nekev, at all times in Nekev, no good.
Also in the cow, you have a scab in lung or something like that.
There's something similar when we talk about a lung, and that's called a sircha. But that's not the discussion for today. That's a discussion for another day. The Yomer Rafa, he brought his old Dafskunish Moirim. He brought his own. No, you want to add another one? We can have Arba Koisis over there. Okay, so the more about
Koisis.
The Omer Abba. Yes, yes, exactly. The Omer Abba. Let's continue on. Yes. Okay, so we have two.
I love it, I love it.
Yeah, okay, yes, yes, we got it. You have two layers of the veshet. Remember, a moment ago, or it feels like an hour ago, we said that from the outside of the veshet, the outer layer is red, and the inside layer is white. And therefore, v'yomer rabba, veshet ein li bedikah b'chutz. You really cannot do a proper bedikah from the outside to determine whether there was a hole in the veshet or not. Why? Because typically, if there's a hole, there is blood. Oh, so if you see blood on the outside or the inside of one of these various organs, ooh, there was a hole there, there's blood. But, however, the case of the veshet, you can't tell that it's blood because the outside is red anyway. So the redness of the veshet and the redness of the blood apparently are so similar that you really cannot go and tell whether there is or is not a hole. The best way of being able to tell is to go and be boidik mi bifnim. Invert it, turn it around, put your finger inside, take a telescope, whatever you need to do, and see. Because after all, bifnim is white. So if you see that there's blood on the inside, there's a hole over there, now let's go and check, and you're probably, taka, there's a hole. So therefore, the best way of checking is from the inside, where it's white, and the red against... Sorry?
Is that something you typically do? Or
you don't typically do it because you have a chazaka that it's okay. Yeah. The only one that you really do on a regular basis is the reich. And there are times where
because... With Dover, you check it if you feel suspicious.
I remember when I was a bucher in the yeshiva, I remember there was in Eretz Yisrael, big signs one day that the Bezen Eid Haredis has said that from now on, you have to be boidik the lungs of a chicken. That is not in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, there's no requirement to check the lungs of a chicken. However, they said, over the last few weeks and months, we've had countless times where we have found a hole in the lungs of a chicken or a sircha on the lungs of a chicken. And so therefore, just like all the doidas we've been checking now, the sircha on the lungs for the animals, we have to do it now in the chickens as well. Whether that still applies today, I don't know. Maybe there was just in a temporary period where they saw that there were problems. So the cheskis kashrus fell away. But normally, of all the 18 treifas, you don't have to go and be boy to the krum shel moyach, you don't have to check the mora, you don't have to check the kabe. Typically, these are all there and there's no problem. But you do have to check the lungs, that is a major issue. Anyway, getting back to argument. So veshet, if you want to check it, you got to check me bifnim. Frey timura, lamay nafkimina. Why are you telling me this? Lesafek drusa. What means lesafek drusa? You have a situation where there was an animal, and Rashi gives us a little bit more flavor or color to the situation, a little bit further down, that you're talking about there was a corral with many, many animals in the corral. And all of a sudden you notice in the corral that there happens to be a lion that is walking around the corral. I am not joking. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. There was a lion that was creeping around there in the corral. Now, guess what? The corral, the lion was nice and quiet and didn't say a word. But all the animals got in ganzen zehitzt. Zehitzt means that they all got heated up and they were screaming, "Oi, oi, oi, there's a danger over here." As if there was, you know, chulila, you would see a terrorist holding a bomb or holding on to a knife or to a gun. See, here too, the lion is here, not in the lion's den, but in the cattle den. And so therefore, they're all very nervous. And now, I come subsequently, and I have to know, was there a drusa situation or not? Did the lion, in fact, attack and make holes in at least one or more of these cattle.
You shouldn't take it lying down.
You can't take it lying down, and the problem is none of them will tell you the truth. They're all going to be lying. You ask the animals, you ask the Ari, either they will be tell you a lie, or they'll be quiet, they won't respond. So that being the case, what do I do? So then, if you look at the top of Rashi, the Safik Drusa, those types of drusas that you have to be concerned about, like the Gemara talks about a little bit further. Iu kashasik, now we're talking about the lion, he is quiet. The inu kok makarkaran, and all the others are making noises. You have to be boidic to make sure that you don't have a problem. The ina asura, when do we say it's asur? Achiyadim kneged hacholol, where you see bloody patches somewhere next to the chol of the animal, that's the hollow of the animal. Ubisimonim, if you're concerned that there was a drusa around the neck area, so you have the two simonim, meaning the kona and the veshit, achiyadimu hasimonim atzman. Then you have to go and see that there is, in fact, that they are bloody. Veloishenikiv, elisha eris ma'adim. Even if you're not worried about that the drusa caused a hole and therefore letting out blood, but it could be red as a result of the eris, the venom, the poison that we spoke about yesterday. Ma'adim hasimen, umachalchil v'yoyir l'chalole, and from there, the poison can go down further into the body of the animal. You cannot go and check from the outside because that is all red. So that it's become reddish as a result of this drusa situation, as a result of the eris, you can't tell. However, from the inside, if you open it up, you can go and see whether it's red or not. So that would be your nafkimina. So Sukhi Moriyetz, who just said this about that you cannot properly make a bedika from the outside of the vase, it was Rabba. And in the case of a Savik Drusa situation, halacha l'maisa, hahi Savik Drusa d'asoy v'kamei de Rabba. A Savik Drusa came from the Rabba. Have a kabodik le Rabba leveshit me avroi. He was checking out the veshit from the outside. Omli Abaye, Abaye says, I can't believe it. V'marhu di omer, you just said a second ago, veshit ein l'bedika ela b'mifnem. You have to check from the inside, not from the outside. Afchi Rabba, so Rabba went and took the veshit and he inverted it to check on the inside. Ubadke, the ishtaka chalei trei kurti dam. In fact, he found there two drops of blood. The tarvan, he said, it's treif. But Rabba said, well, I don't understand Rabba. Rabba said, you cannot be boidik. Did Abaye need to tell Rabba? Did Rabba have forgetfulness? Well, what happened? Did he have amnesia? Rabba nami lechadudi labaye hu deboy. Rabba was just trying to test Abaye. In other words, Abaye had been learning by Rabba for a while. He was also his kind of his stepfather. But the point of our Gemara is that Rabba was the teacher of Abaye. He wanted to go and test Abaye. Abaye knew his stuff. He was so happy when Abaye said, now what are you doing, Rabbi? What are you doing, Rabba? You're doing it from the outside. You have to do it from the inside. I was testing it. Nushtikal, Amr Ula. This is related, but it's a nushtikal. Yoshevloi koitz beveshit. Notice it uses the term Yoshevloi. And the Gemara considers that to mean that the koitz is embedded. Now, koitz is a thorn. And animals, when they graze, not only do they graze and eat grass, very often they will take thorns together, wheat, barley, grain, grass, whatever they're eating. Good. So I know you're a bucky in this. You can educate us on about the cattle. What do the cattle eat typically?
Yeah, they eat what you just said, but sometimes they eat also very rough thing.
Right. And that rough thing, the Gemara calls a koitz, which is a thorn. And
it's actually part of the way that they grind their teeth too. But if you domesticate them, then you have to have a dentist take care of the teeth.
Really? Okay. See that? Sure. Okay. Good to know. So there are veterinarian dentists as well. I guess so. Anyway, so Umma'ula, Yashav Likoitz Beveshit. You open up the Veshit and you find that there is a koitz, a thorn which is embedded in the wall, but it's not a perpendicular to the wall, it's parallel to the wall. In other words, the walls also have some mamushes to them, and this koitz is there. It didn't make any hole, it's just lying there nicely, embedded there in the wall of the Veshit from the inside, which in and of itself is not at all a simen tarfus. That's fine. I do not have to be choishish that maybe what happened was that there was a hole in the veshet. That hole was created by the koitz, which I just found there. And the reason why I don't see the hole now, maybe Sheb Hivri, maybe subsequently, it healed. After all, we said on the Amud Aleph, makes no difference whether it healed or not. As soon as it gets a nekev, it's treif, treif forever. You can have scabs and you can have medicines and medications. Once it gets a nekev koshu, it's treif. So you don't have to worry about the fact that I find this koitz embedded in there that maybe an hour ago or a day ago or a week ago, it wasn't parallel with the wall of the veshet. Maybe it was perpendicular. In fact, maybe it punctured it and then afterwards it came out. And the fact that you don't see a hole now, maybe because over time it hivri, maybe it became gizun, repaired. Yeah. So now there are three different pshatim in the word hivri over here. If you look at the Rashi,
healed.
Very good, very good. From Lashon Bari, right?
Yeah.
So if you go to Ein Choshishin, Rashi is about almost halfway down the Amud. Ein Choshishin. The Rashi, Shemenekev Hoyev Hivri, there was a Nekev, and it's gotten healed, it's healthy again, Bari. V'havikrum Sh'olam Achvus HaMakas, like we had in the Amud Aleph, that if you have such a scab that grows out to the Makav HaVeshet, ain't a krum. So that's one pshat. The next pshat says, Rashi, V'anishamati V'hivri Loshen Nikev. Then in fact, Hivri means that there was a Nekev. There, Kemoi, and he brings a pasuk from Yecheskel, Uvora Oysam B'charv Oysam, that there's a Nekev. And that the reason why Rashi probably brings this second pshat is because according to the first pshat, Iker Chosim in a Sefer. It says, Ein Choshim Shem Hivri, you don't have to worry about that. It got healed. Healed from what? So you have to throw in, Ein Choshim Shem Nikev Nekev Nokav, and then Hivri. You don't have to worry that there was a hole, and then it got healed. You left out the hole. There's a major hole in the Gemara in the sense that we didn't bring that Nekev. So the second pshat of Rashi is better because he's in that respect. In Chosh Shem Hivri, you don't have to worry about that there was a hole, and you don't see the hole now because it got healed. But there's a third pshat, and the third pshat is in the my other Gemara, Homitzakoyis Vitzionim. Over here is probably another one. Oh, I see Aleph. Yeah. So Aleph of Hagoyis Vitzionim, Pirish, Yotzel Chutz, Kinematargim Chutz Bra. The word no bra is also used by the Gemara numerous times to mean outside. And so therefore he's saying that the word vihivri means I don't have to worry about that the veshet, not the veshet, that the koitz in the veshet was at one time bra outside and that it punctured it and that's how it got inside. You don't have to worry about that. So how did this koitz get there in the veshet in the first place? So Rashi can go and she ochal koitz. It ate one of these thorns and the teeth didn't grind it properly because it wasn't domesticated like we heard from Amir previously. So therefore the koitz went down into the veshet, but it stayed there. In other words, really it should have gone down with the rest of the food all the way down to one of the four and then it should come up again and down. And maybe Taka did come up again. It was down below in the cave or the keris and they said, nah, we don't like you. Go back up. And it went back up in the veshet, but it got stuck there somewhere. So it was always internally in the veshet, but it never punctured it from the side, either the upper layer, the lower layer, and therefore, it says, Ula, it's kushin. Freitimar. Now we're right after the parentheses, and once again we have a simen, Doras, Chatichos, Besakin, Tmeya, and those are the four kashas that the Gemara asks on Ula. Uli, Ula, Maishna, Misavik, Drusa. We said back on the Amud Aleph, the Safik Drusa, you cannot be boidik from the outside. You can only be boidik it from the inside. And if you're boidik and you find problems, you got problems. So here I have a problem. What's my problem? I found inside the veshet, I found that koitz. Why shouldn't I be choishe that maybe this koitz made a hole and I should say that it's a bimachmer and say it's treif? I'm not worried about Safik Drusa. If I know for sure. The Safik Drusa. So you don't have to be worried about it. If you know that, in fact, this animal attacked it and you see the claws and all that, and then you see holes, then you got to worry about it. But over here, if you didn't see for sure, just because the lion is walking around, you don't have to. After all, we're not just talking about one lion and one animal. We're talking about there were 10, 20, 50 animals. You don't have to worry about. See if you. I know the earlier Rashi on top didn't mention anything about the lion, but if you go right after the Rashi we just finished, Maishna Mesavi Drusa, the Mishum Da'ol, Arye Beinayu. There was an Ari, a lion that was Dreyenzach among the animals, Amrin Shemadoras, that's why you have to be boited. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so Rabbi was more machmir about the Safik Drusa, Ula is more mekel, and therefore, don't ask me kashas from Safik Drusa on the case of the Yoshev Lekoitz Beveshit, because I'm not machmir when it comes to Safik Drusa. But now let's get to the second kasha. We asked from Doras, now we go to Chatichos. This, of course, has nothing to do with Hilchas Treifas. This has to do with Oshem Toloi, that we spoke about yesterday or the day before. What's the din by an Oshem Toloi? He had two pieces of Shmaltz on the table. Somebody came up and he ate one of them. I don't know what he ate the Chedavi, but the Shuman. So he has to go and bring his carbon Oshem Toloi. Why does he have to bring the Oshem Toloi to be Megan, just in case he was over? And if ultimately he finds out he ate Chelev, he has to bring Karm Chatzis. Okay, so now, there also you have a Suffolk. There you got to bring Oshem Toloi. Here I have a Suffolk. I see that there is embedded in the walls of the Veshit, this kite. Why shouldn't I be noivis and say, maybe Taka made a hole and it should be Dreifa? Everyone Hosem is Chazik Yisura, Hocholoi is Chazik Yisura. There was an Isser. Which case? The Chelev and the Shuman. Whoever put these two pieces of Shmaltz on the table says, I know that one of them was Chelev, and that's why we put it on the table, because not to eat it and to make a demonstration, this Chelev, the Shuman, whatever the reason was. But Lamas, we know there was Isser. Over here, we don't know there was an Isser. We know that there's a Koitz, but then maybe the Koitz was harmless. Maybe it didn't do anything. So now we're on to the next case of the Nemanik Besakin. Besakin Intis Peguma. Before you did the Shechita, you found that the Sakin was Givaldik. After the Shechita was over, you found that there was a notch, a niche in the Sakin, and it was Pogum. And then, remember we had a Machlekes about this early on in the Gemara, but at least according to one man, the Yomar, he says that it's Treif, I have to be Choshish, that it became Pogum as you were cutting the Tzavah, the outside oir, even before you reached the Simonim. So by the time you reached the Simonim, there was already a niche, a notch inside the Sakin, and therefore, unfortunately, it was Ma'aker, the Simonim, instead of Shechting, and that's why it's Treif. So why? I mean, say the same by the Veshit. I'm also Noivis. I see the Veshit. I see the Koitz inside the Veshit. Of course. There, eventually, there was Isyal from Lashon Noilet, that there was a Reyes that was created. You're right, the Sakin initially was fine. But now look at the Sakin, you see that there's a Pegima in it. But I don't see any Pegima here inside the Veshit, I just see the Koitz. You don't have to worry. So that's the last in the simon. What about Sofik Tumah Rishus HaYachid? So what's the din by Sofik Tumah Rishus HaYachid? The Sofik Tumah. It's automatically Sofik Tumah. So here too I have a Sofik of the Koitz inside the Veshit. I should say Sveikoi, not Tumah, but Sveikoi Treifa. So let me ask you Fakert. The dam in the Sofik Tumah Rishus HaRabim, the Sveikoi Tohar. Ella, why is
it...
Over Rishus HaRabim, why are we talking Machmir Tumah Rishus HaYachid more than Rishus HaRabim? Because of the halacha of Soita. Ela Hasam Hilchas Gemina Lami Soita. So Lem Dach in Soita, because in Soita, even though in Soita we're talking about a person that Chas V'Shalom, this woman may have engaged in relations that she should not have done. He told you to use the term Benitma Benitma. So I learned from that. Hilchis Tomei Tumah from Soita, just like Soita could only take place in a secluded area. A Soita wouldn't be a shal if he did. She did in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, Safik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tor, Safik Tumah Rishus HaYachid is Tomei, but it has nothing to do with us. That's a Xeris Akosiv, wherever you find the Tumah, depending whether Rishus HaRabim is Rishus
HaRabim.
So therefore, you can't bring a Raya to the case of Yoshev Likait. Good. Now notice once again, Ula started off Yoshev Leikoitz. Yoshev who made Rabban and Kamed Rav Kahana, Yoshev Kamar, Nimtzeis Itmar, Havel Yoshev Chayshinan. When Ula said initially that you found a koitz in the Veshit, it's not talking about a Yoshev Loi, a yeshiva that got lodged or embedded in the Veshit. We're talking about Nimtzeis. In other words, after the Shechita, we opened up the Veshit, and we saw that among all the other stuff in the Veshit, there might still have been some grass there, and some wheat, and some barley, or whatever this animal was eating. And we happen to see that there's also a koitz there. So it's Nimtzeis. I found it there. But it wasn't embedded or lodged in the wall of the Veshit. Says this, Ahumei Rabbanan, Nimtas itmar. Avu Yashav Chashinan. Even Ulu would agree that if you found it lodged in the wall, Yashav, no. Safik treifa, machmir, don't eat it. Omalu Rav Kana. Rav Kana said to this, to the audience here, and he said, Loitzitzisulei. Don't listen to what this Hahu Merabon is telling you. Yashav itmar. When Ula said his halach, he was talking about that it was lodged in the wall, embedded in the wall, not just nimtzis, that it was floating around inside the vesh. That is not even a shayla. You don't even have to talk about that. The kulu, chivi briyasa, all of those animals. Here the chivi doesn't mean necessarily a chaya. Rashi says chivi briyasa means any animal that grazes outside. By definition, they're going to eat some rough stuff from time to time, like Amir attested to a few minutes ago, including some thorns. So this is typical, this is normal. That is not even a shayla whatsoever. Okay, next tickle now. From now, for the next why, we're going to talk about the Turbat Haveshet, till the end of the Omid, into the Omid Aleph. What exactly is Turbat Haveshet? Yeah, you want this? Okay, you can hold on to it. You might need it later. Good. So what's exactly a Turbat Haveshet? Turbat Haveshet, says Rashi, is where the Veshet really begins in the Lechi of the animal. We know, of course, that both the Kana and the Veshet extend not only within the Lechi, within the cheek, within the jaw, but it goes much further down through the whole Mukamat Savar, the whole place of the neck, and therefore you have to make sure that you shech there in the middle, and it shouldn't be hagroma, and things of that nature. Anyway, so here the Turbat Haveshet starts from the jaw itself, from the very beginning. And what happened? I found a psul in the Turbat Haveshet. When do I say that it becomes a trefil? Rav Omer B'mashu. Rav says, Turbat Haveshet and Veshet are exactly the same. They have the same din of Nikev Haveshet. It is treif. And we'll see in a moment, because Rav holds that the Turbat Haveshet is a kosher place to shecht, just like the rest of the Veshet. And therefore, since you can go and shecht lower down, and if you find a hole there, that means that it's treif. The Turbat Haveshet, even on the top, you find a hole, it is also treif b'mashu. Shmuel Omar Berubai. No. If it's a hole, which is in the upper part of the Veshet, or the lower part, depending which way you look at it, but in the Veshet, which stands there from the jaw, there in that spot, it's got to be right. A little nakiv doesn't do the trick to make it treif. Rav Omar Mamashu Mokim Shchitu. It's like a Mokim Shchitu. How could that be a Mokim Shchitu? If it's so far into the jaw, isn't that beyond not only the Tabas HaGdoyla, and not only the Shipi Koiva, but even the Chudash Al Gabi HaKoiva? This should certainly be a problem of Hagroma. And Rashi tells us, a Gevaldig Yechidish in Halacha of Rav, the Rav holds the whole Halacha of Hagroma only applies to the Kana, it doesn't apply to the Veshet. Where's this Rashi? Rashi's 10 lines before the wide lines, all the way down, Mokam HaShchituhu, you have that?
Yeah.
Says Rashi, V'mshochet Shom Ksheira. Hilchach dinoy kevashet. If it has a small neck, if it's possible. Aye, what about hilchas hagrama v'chigmiri hagrama bekanahu digmiri? Al beveshel lishayich hagrama. There's no din of hagrama because, according to Rav, from the first little millimeter until the very end of the veshel, you can check anywhere. There's no hagrama of too high, too low, a permissible zone. It's only halacha in kana and not halacha in veshet. Of course, if you are shechting in the Turbat Haveshet area, presumably vis-a-vis the Kana, that would be out of the zone. The person would have to go and shecht at an angle, at a slant, not to go and cut the Kana in that area, because that would be a psul hagrama, but when it gets to the Kana, lower down on the Kana. Okay, anyway, so we have this machloikis, the Rav holds b'mashu mokim shchitu, Shmuel says b'roiv lav mokim shchitu. Freiti Gemara, Hainiu Turbat Haveshet. Where does the Turbat Haveshet begin and end? Can you give me kind of some feel for it? Amamori bar mar ukva amashmul kol shechoytchay umarchiv zehu Turbat Haveshet. Choytchay va'oimivim koimai zehu aveshet atzmai. When you go and cut, for instance, with a chalif, and you're cutting it umarchiv. Now the hole that you have now in the veshet itself, after you've severed it halfway or whatever, three quarters of the way, you see that hole expands. That's Turbat Haveshet. However, if you go and cut lower down on the Veshet, and when you cut through it, then you see that the whole of the veshit remains intact. It doesn't contract, it doesn't expand, it stays. It is stable. That is the veshit atzmai. Rashi says, we're not talking about the same that we spoke about in the past, that we talked about shchita mufras, that when you cut into the simanim, then after that they expand, and you're able to see them more on the side. We have, remember, chiduda koidem libuna, that the chidud would go and precede any heat if the night was heated up, because it expands. Rashi, we're not talking about the makam chatach. We're talking about the hollow space in the veshit itself. If you look at Rashi, five lines to the bottom, umarchiv niftach pi hanekev k'min pi amtachas, as if you're opening up the opening to a bag or to a sack. By marchiv loy achatach koy, we're not talking about that the cut that you make, that now it expands and that it moves to the right and to the left and up and down. Ela ugul pi chol haveshit, you've now cut through into the veshit and now it has a hole. Does that hole expand or contract? So that's what he's saying. That's a chilik between the Torbit Veshit and the Veshit. So getting back to our Gemara, there are going to be two different views about this. So the first view was, Umbarmar Ukva Umbishmul, Kosh Choychu Marchim Zev Torbit Veshit, Choychu Imim Koymu Zev Veshit, Veshit Atzmai. Umler Papi, Mar Loy Omar Hochi. No, Mar disagreed with what you just said. Umanu, who is that Mar? Rabibi Barabaya. If it stays stationary, stable, doesn't expand, doesn't contract, that's a Torah observation. That instead of it expanding or staying stable, in fact, the hole begins to contract and close up on its own. That is the Veshed Atzmai. Now, we have two different Gersois over here. The first Gersois is Yoina Omer Abzeira. Yoina, like Reb Yoina says in the name of Zera, Mivlata. What means Mivlata? Mivlata, says Rashi, comes from the word Beis Habliya, and the Turbit Zaveshit is very close to the Mokum that you're Boileya. In other words, just like we, B'nai Adam, human beings, the Havdal animals, the food goes first into the mouth, and then it goes into the beginning of the esophagus, of the food pipe. That very beginning, that is called the mivlata, where you're boleya, where you swallow, right? When you swallow, you swallow, it goes down. But have the same thing by the animal, it also goes down when you swallow. So he's saying the Torah observation is right next to the very opening, the very beginning of the veshit. Now, it's very nice you told me very, very close, but what is this shir v'kama? Amrav avya, pochis misarisa, the odif mechitza. It's less than the length of a soira, of a barley kernel, but it's more than that of a wheat kernel. So somewhere in between, I don't know what those shiurim are, quite between a millimeter and 2 millimeters, or half an inch and 3/4 of an inch. I'm sorry?
You have to have a kernel.
You have to have a kernel, very good. So that's the vishtikal. Now there's another girsa here, not yoina omer abzeira, but until now we were speaking about behemoths. What happens if you're speaking about birds, like a yoina? On Reb Zeira, I'll tell you where the shear over there is. Don't talk about that it's choit choy v'kovit, choit choy, and oimid b'mkoymai, by a yoina, by a bird. The shear is by the mevlata. The turbits is right next to the opening. What is the shear there? The difference between the soira and the chita, like we said before. So where is this pshat of yoina? I have a base here. If you go to Agoyis v'tziunim, he starts off Reb Yoina on Reb Zeira, from the Shittim Kabetzis. If he Pirush Rashi Mashma Shem Chocham Reb Yoina of Ayim Abis Yosef Simon Beis Chof Shehevi Poskim Shekoi Al Yoina Mamish. But Mereting A Yoina, what is the Torbit Zaveshit by a Yoina? Oh, that's by the Mevlata. So therefore, we have two separate pshatim in Vos Mind the Yoina.
On the back of the book here, there's a drawing illustration Chot Chol Marchiv Chot Chol Olam Mekomo Chot Chol Kovetz on page Tezvav.
In the art school, he also has.
Okay.
Pull out the Gemara from it.
Feel. Blue Gemaras and the blue Gemaras.
Oh, they don't have the red ones? Oh, yeah, those blue Gemaras.
Okay. One more about the blue Gemaras.
Here you have here. You see here in the bottom?
Oh, over here. Where it collapses or widens or flares out.
Yeah, they have three different types over there. Okay, anyway. Zai, this thing's there, fine. And we continue on. Do you want to see the picture over here, if you'd like to? Oh, you have the picture. Okay. So you got the picture.
Got the picture.
Okay, good. So we continue on the Gemara Vayter. Hahu Tura, the Hava Lebnei Reb Ukva, a Tura means a shor, an axe, that belonged to Bnei Reb Ukva, the Aschel Be Shechita Beturbitz HaVeshet, they started the Shechita up on top of the Turbitz HaVeshet, the Gomer HaVeshet, and they finished it off in the Veshet area. Now, if we think about this for a moment, both according to Rav and according to Shmuel, this should be mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Should be totally mutter. Why should it be totally mutter? Shazukti Yimara, according to Rav, it should be mutter because even though you made a hole in the Turbitz HaVeshet by shechting over there, Rav says that that's fine, that's a makam shechita. So makam shechita, there's no hagrama by Turbitz HaVeshet, by Veshet at all. So you shecht it, who should be yushu? Even according to Shmuel, it's not a problem, because Shmuel said it's only possible if it's berubai. This person only did a miut of the shechting in the Turbitz HaVeshet and continued on that 95% of it was in the Veshet. How do I know it's only a little bit? Rashi says on the second white line, the Aschel Day Shechita Mash, Abesalatigemacht in the Turbitz HaVeshet, but it was really nothing. So nothing compared to a roif. So even though there's a hole there, there's an ekev, according to Shmuel, a neck of the Turbitz HaVeshet is fine as long as it's not roif. So therefore it's kosher according to both Rav Lishitasai and Shmuel Lishitasai. Nevertheless, Omer Rava, nay, we're going to make a treif. Ramin alei chumri de Rav, chumri de Shmuel, utarif nalei. We're going to take the chumris of Rav and of Shmuel, and we're going to make a treif. What does that mean? Chumri de Rav, Omer Rava, mashu. Now we had a mashu cut in the Turbitz HaVeshet. Ay, Omer Rava, mokim shchitu, so it's fine. Says the Omer, now we're going to be machmir like Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? The Omer Rav, mokim shchitu, since you made a hole in the Veshet, and it's Rav, mokim shchitu, says Shmuel, don't tell me that's part of the Shechita, I'm shachting. According, it's not a Mokum Shechita, so therefore, this would be a treif.
Why? Because it's a hole in the Veshet? Even though it's the Turbitz HaVeshet, we're considering it a hole in the Veshet?
What did Shmuel say? That it's Berubai. Right. Why is it Berubai? Because it's not the Mokum Shechita. So therefore, since it's not the Mokum Shechita, and you made now a hole in the Veshet, now it's going to be treif.
So we deem it as part of the Veshet as far as the psul of a hole, mm-hmm. But we don't deem it as part of the Veshet in terms of being a makom shechita.
Exactly okay, right. Okay. Exactly right. Zukti Yomara. So that's one reason. Now we go for Keret. I freit the Yomara Ishmuel Amar Berubai. Didn't he say that the shear is roif? Karav the Amar Mashu. So now we're therefore chapping on the chumris of both of them. Rav that said even neck of a tur is a Veshet pasuls. But according to Rav, but this is a kosher shechita, no problem. Shmuel says it wasn't a kosher shechita. According to Shmuel, it's only a mashu, it's not a roif. Yeah, but according to Shmuel, he holds that the din by the Turbitz HaVeshet is like a regular, and therefore it didn't be mashu. Okay, Shmuel Oma Kirubai is Kirav Oma Mashu. So we take the mashu of Rav, the neck of mashu of Rav, we take the lav mokim shechita of Shmuel, we combine them together and make it trek. So tomorrow, Galgal Nilsa, this whole shtickle that we're talking about, eventually Matoy the Kamadir of Abba, Omalahu, and he said, Tura, this shor that we're talking about, Bein the Rabbi and the Shmuel, Shari, it's Mutter. And therefore, who was the one that said that it was Asr? It was Rava. Zilu Omer Leila Breider of Yosef Bar Choma.
That's Rava.
Go and say to the son of Yosef Bar Choma, who is Rava, is another Gerser of Yosef Bar Chia, but we'll stay with Yosef Bar Choma. The lishlem dmei tura lemore, he should go and pay the damages to the owner of the shor. Rashi says it was already too late to change his mind because he had already fed it to the klavim, to the dogs. He should go and pay for the damage that he caused. Omamar berei ravina musvina tiyufta klape sanoi derava. We have a major challenge, a major kasha against the sonim of Rava. We don't really mean the son of Rava, we really mean Rava himself. But because we don't want to embarrass Rava, we say the son of Rava, like we find often in the Gemara, that we don't want to say something bad about Klal Yisrael. So you say son of Yisrael, even though we really mean Yisrael.
Son is lashon like sonay?
Yeah, exactly. Zok Gemara, and what is that? Klapi son of Rava. Lo'oyulam hilchus ha'givetim. So we have a famous brisa. Lo'oyulam hilchus ha'givetim beisil. We always paskin like beisil against beishama, except for a couple of enumerated cases, but otherwise, however, if you want to, you can follow Beis Shammai, you can follow Beis Hillel, The Gemara, of course, is going to ask shortly. You just said the halacha is like Beis Hillel. How can you follow Beis Shammai? We're going to get to that in a moment. If a person always goes after Mekula Beis Shammai, Mekula Beis Hillel, he always goes after Kulas, he's a Rasha. On the other hand, if he goes Mechumra Beis Shammai, Mechumra Beis Hillel, that he's always going after Chumras, then what do we say about a person like that? Olav HaKasav Oymeh HaKsil B'choshech Hoylech. The Ksil is the imbecile who is walking in the dark. And therefore, Ella ki ike Beis Shammai b'kikulein u'kichumrein, ike Beis Hillel kikulein u'kichumrein. Always follow the same Rav. Don't go, you have a Shaila, so you ask somebody, you want a Kula, go and ask Rabbi Smith. Then you have another Shaila, no, don't ask Rabbi Smith about that, because he's got a machmer on that. Go and ask Rabbi Jones. You got to stay with one Rav, with one opinion, one school of thought, and not chap kulis and chumris and chumris and kulis. So therefore, what's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is, didn't we learn that if you chap on chumris of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, then you're a fool. So therefore he's saying about Rava, but he doesn't want to address Rava, so he's saying the sonim of Rava, to go and chap on the mashahu of Rav, and then the halach of Shmuel, that it was la mokim shchita, to put those two together, to be machmer, no reason to be machmer, each one the shitas soy, according to Rav, it's kosher, because even though there was a nekev, however, it was a mokim shchita, where you shecht over there, so it was a fine shchita. And according to Shmuel, it would also be kosher. Why? Because he only did a miut and not a roi, so it wouldn't be a problem. You are combining that. Come on, give me a break. That's ksil b'choshech choylech. So therefore, you always have to go with one shita kulein chumrein. So now we could stop here, but if you want, we'll go with another, just a couple of lines. Haguf akasha. We said over here that you always have to follow the paskin. Lo oylam hilchasik and the rebeis hill. And then we say roi tzilatzim mishami oisa the rebeis hill oisa. Pray tomorrow. Haguf akasha. Amris loy the malach yid rebeis hill. V'hadatani roi tzilatzim mishami oisa. Or yasa. Have these two work together in neshima achas. Do you paskin beis hill? Do you paskin beis hill? Loy kasha kan koydim baskol kan li acher baskol. There was a paskol that came out that says we always paskin like beis hill. From that point on, you gotta follow beis hill. But prior to that, before this paskol came out, if you want to do like Beis Hillel, you can do like Beis Hillel. You want to do like Beis Shammai, you can do Beis Shammai. That was until the Shulchan Aruch was codified. Once the Baskol came out, Halacha ki Beis Hillel. Have a wonderful day.